Welcome to Next Gen Rentals, the go-to podcast for exploring the evolving landscape of the vacation rental ecosystem. Here, we dive deep into the world of vacation rentals, share experiences, and tackle the industry's biggest challenges. Each episode features conversations with key players in the vacation rental space, discussing everything from technology to market dynamics.
Next Gen Rentals is brought to you by our main sponsor, Mr. Alfred. Mr. Alfred specializes in making vacation rental management effortless. Stay tuned to discover how they can transform your rental business.
So in today's episode, we are honored to have Sylvia Eldawi.
Hello.
She's the founder of Propology, an edutainment platform for aspiring property professionals. I don't know if I said it well.
Edutainment. So it's kind of, it's a new word. It's the blend between education and entertainment.
Excellent. Okay. That makes sense. So look, can you introduce a little bit yourself? Because you have a lot of background in real estate, in startup, in technology. So, I mean, do a quick introduction, but I think we're going to spend the first minutes like going through your career.
I'll try and keep it super brief. I've been in the real estate industry for over two decades. I know that, God, that makes me sound super old. I started as a real estate agent, and then I began to lead real estate companies. By 2007, I was running some of the top agencies in the UK, also handling the portfolios of royal families, of high net worth individuals. They wouldn't make a single property move without discussing it with me. They were international, but I would handle their UK portfolio. And then when I came to the UAE in 2017, I was handling portfolios for royalty and so on, continuation of that. And then I got into the tech startup world, and that kind of opened up my eyes to venture capital and technology. And I was, I'm a user, I'm a consumer of technology, but I don't understand how, what goes on in the background. So I learned a lot in the space of 18 months very quickly about technology and UI, UX, and all of these things. So I feel that's given me a different angle of the real estate industry, the prop tech side. Mm-hmm. I've been to a lot of conferences. I've spoken at conferences. I've been published in Arab News. And I'm now kind of like a spokesperson of the real estate industry and also prop tech. I was at Cityscape in Saudi Arabia this year, because I think Saudi's next on the agenda. Yeah. And now I've kind of created Propology, which came out of my own pain point, which was dealing with real estate agents. I felt that the training and capabilities in the region, and also, I mean, globally, there's a lot of demand for real estate agency training. And I felt that there's a lot of conflict of interest with the people that are giving real estate training. They tend to have their own real estate company. Mm. So if you're an agency owner, you wouldn't necessarily send one of your agents to someone who could poach them, for example. So I think it's important that as an agency trainer, there are no conflicts of interest. You don't have a recruitment company on the side. You don't have a real estate company on the side. You are just dedicated to training and improving standards within the real estate industry.
Okay, thank you very much. And are you planning to do this online, offline, or both?
So the platform is online. The course is going to be hosted online. So I'm going to do small courses on every subject in the real estate field, and even holiday homes, applicable to holiday homes operators, not end users or landlords or investors. So my target is real estate companies, holiday homes operators, any part of the industry that requires trainings. Even there's a mortgage company that wanted me to train their mortgage consultant. So anything where there's customer service involved or a level of sales training required, that's what I handle. So the platform is online. The courses are online. Of course, there's social media as well. There's downloadable templates, toolkits. Social media is a big part of being a real estate agent. So I'm going to try and make their lives easier when it comes to thinking of content, having content that they can produce on a regular basis. And of course, I do my own podcast as well, Golden Nuggets with Sylvie Eldawi, where I'm getting experts in the area to come in and just talk, have a conversation. I've had some really interesting guests and conversations, and people are ready to share their Absolutely. Knowledge to improve the industry. So
yeah, and I mean, you mentioned the problem of the real estate agencies trying to train and the conflicts of interest. But is there no academies or independent entities, or who is your competitor?
So there's the training institutes, which are like the kind of academies or schools. Mm-hmm. You will need to, as a real estate agent, take your RERA course and sit your exam in order to become a licensed agent. But then that's it.
Okay.
For holiday homes, I don't think there's any qualification required. And that's it. So everything else becomes optional. Now, each person has individual needs. Someone might need training on communication style. Someone might need training on how to show a property. You know, when I was an agent, one of the first things I was ever taught was how to show an empty property. And this applies to, you know, long-term rentals, short-term rentals. There's a style of showing a property. There's the positioning of the agent or whoever's doing the viewing. There's so much to consider, but no one's taught it.
Yeah.
So you just do it how you think you should do it. And that's the same with every other element, you know, dealing with, again, I had a recent requirement for holiday homes. My sister was coming to Dubai and I needed somewhere for her. And a few of the companies I spoke to, it's just like zero interest when it's like, no, sorry, that's not available. No, that's actually, no, the price that you see it online for, it's 12 times more than that. Oh, because it's peak season. And it's like, well, you're advertising it for this price.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel misled now.
Yeah.
Even if it is available, I'm not sure I want to take it through you because I've been sucked in because of the price. You're not able to offer.
And as a matter of fact, it's not as fake marketing. It's just that they don't care, probably, which is even worse.
Yeah.
Very good. So, very interesting. I think I totally agree with you. I think there is a gap in the market. What for me, and I find it a bit difficult to understand, is how being such a big market, real estate, so many real estate agents. I mean, sometimes in my last 5 years, I thought, man, let's quit my job and be a real estate agent.
And you're not alone. There's a lot of people.
How many commissions you make? I mean, especially with the boom and everything.
Yeah.
No? So what's your strategy to get to this market? What's your go-to market?
Okay.
Like, are you going to partner with companies? Or?
So nothing successful was ever done alone. So I do believe that partnership is the way forward. I've already partnered with ThinkProp, which is part of Aldar. It's a training institute. So I've done a course for them targeted at people like yourself who have considered or been enticed into, but it's obviously it's gone through everyone's mind in the last year and a half, I'd say, can I be a real estate agent? Because you see all of this glamorous lifestyle. You've got also the TV shows, Million Dollar Listing, Selling Sunset, selling this dream, you know?
Yeah.
And you hear some amazing commission stories and you're thinking, why can't I be a real estate agent? So I did a course with ThinkProp because they had a lot of demand for people that are thinking about it, but we want to know how it all works, you know, how easy it is and how realistic is it that I'm going to be rich in 30 days. So we did a course just breaking down every part of the industry, what skills you need to have, what to expect, what you can get out of it, what you have to expect to put in. And it's not for everyone. So I think if the more people understand whether a career in real estate is for you or not, the better.
Mm.
Because we do want this industry to be filled with career-minded people rather than opportunists that are thinking, let me just try it for a year, get rich, and then leave, do something else.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I mean, just to give you a bit of background, we started up Next Gen Rentals maybe 2 years, 3 years ago, at least the idea and the vision and the mission.
because we were the hollyhocks industry were a bit threatened by a big developer in Dubai that will not name, but I guess everyone will know, because they were banning hollyhocks. No? So some big companies, we came together and we said we need to do something. And then we continued meeting and we say, yeah, okay, now we solved this problem, but we have problems, the ones you mentioned, as a small one. We have problems on consistency, on the quality of the cleaning, or consistency on materials, because the hollyhocks market is a very new market in Dubai.
Yeah.
Now it seems like it has hype, everyone does hollyhocks, but we started in this business 7 years ago and there were not many. So then we thought, okay, so we need to do something for the industry. There is nothing commercially, but we don't want to do it commercially. No? So we created kind of a group of companies sitting together and trying to improve the industry. No? Because I believe it's similar to your mission. Sorry. And if you improve the industry, you will improve your business as well.
100%.
For two reasons, in my opinion. One is because your business itself will improve. And second, because the ones who don't do well will go out of business. Yeah. I think this is the two main objective of the standard. So I really like your mission, and I hope you succeed.
Thank you.
And I know you will. Because it's launched, or you are launching, or what's the status?
So I kind of did it backwards. I was supposed to publish the course first, and then do the advertising around it, the social media, the podcast to draw attention to it. But I made the it's probably not a mistake. I started with the podcast, and that's actually been so much fun and so educational in itself that delayed the course production. Okay. So now I'm so busy shooting podcasts and producing the reels and cutting out little snippets of what I call golden nuggets, which is educating my followers, that I haven't been able to complete the course yet. So by the end of this year, it will be online. That's 2023.
I was checking, which month are we in?
We're in November. And I did do another podcast before. I said, it's got to be up by the end of November. If it's December the 1st and you're listening to this and it's not up, then pull me up on it. So I went 100% full speed on the podcast, and I'm also doing some offline consultancy and one-on-one coaching and workshops, like training for some startup real estate companies. So I'm all over the place, but I am giving back to the industry. People are learning from me, so I'm happy as long as that's done. But the course is not live yet.
Okay, and just to finalize with this... So it's going to be content-driven or experience-driven or...
Experience and, I mean, there's...
Will you have a lecturer or just material?
It's all me. It's all me, my learning that's evolved and adapted. Because, of course, you know, when I was a real estate agent going back 20 years, the things that I was taught then, maybe 80% of it is still relevant today. 20% of it is no longer relevant. You know, we used to attract people by having shops on the high street, you know, real estate companies on the high street. And the only way we could attract people was by having really lovely window displays, and the property would be listed in the window. We didn't use the internet, or there wasn't any property portals back then. So that's what we relied on. So there's a lot of lessons from then that are still applicable now, but a lot has evolved with technology, social media, and so on. So it's down to me also to stay abreast of all the latest developments in technology, in social media, in marketing, so that I can give it back to my learners, should we say.
And looking at all on the industry, which areas do you think there is more weakness in a normal or like standard agent?
So I think the where the majority of the issues are, or the training requirements, immediate training requirements, is the real estate agents, because the number of licensed agents has grown substantially over the last 2 years. The desire to get into real estate has not been as it was in the past. You know, I want to be a real estate agent. I want this to be my career choice. No, as you mentioned before, it's because people are seeing the money. So the intention is not correct in the first place. So these people... It's not a genuine intention. And these people probably also may not be my target market. Correct. They might not want to invest in training themselves or learning or educating themselves. So there's a lot of the main weaknesses for me that I would like to make an impact on is the agents and support staff, because you think you have a great brand as an agency or an operator. You think you have a great brand, but then you have to look at your touch points. Who are my customers speaking to? How are they being dealt with? What does the WhatsApp communication between my telephone agent or my telesales person or the receptionist or the bookings person, how does that communication look? So the training that's required and that I'm delivering for is every level, all the touch points that deal with the consumer, because it's the consumer that is getting fed up of the way they're being looked after.
And going to the consumer, which do you think are the three main pain points that they have when dealing with an agent?
I would say incorrect information. So that covers a whole host of no longer available, or the price isn't correct, or... what else could it be? The pictures so just misleading. Number two would be the style of communication. We have, you know, we are blessed with so many different cultures in the Middle East, but it takes someone who's very adaptable to be able to communicate with someone calling or contacting from the UK, and especially in holiday homes. And then you've got someone from the US. They're used to different levels of service, so it's important to be able to adapt
in English,
to
in
English.
Types of English.
Yeah. Even within each subsector, you know, even New Yorkers are different from people in LA. So so I'd say communication is the second, and the third would be the type of selling that goes on. So there's a bit of aggression and pushy. There doesn't need to be. You lead someone to water and hopefully they will take a sip. But
don't you think maybe that, sorry to interrupt, but maybe don't you think this may be driven by the speed of the market as well? You know, sometimes you're looking for a house and it goes out of market in 1 week. So the gin understands that as well. I don't know.
I mean, if it's about creating urgency, if it's genuine, you know, if and you as a buyer or a consumer, you will know how fast the market is moving. You will know if you see a good deal or a good opportunity, you don't have time to waste making a decision, because maybe as you were exiting the viewing, someone else was coming in to have a look. I think we the industry undermines people's intelligence, and we assume that they, you know, we're here to educate. You're here as a professional. And I'm always saying this to people that I'm coaching or in my classes, that you've got to consider yourself the professional. You are the doctor in this. They're coming to you with a problem. You are here to solve it. Now, when I go to the doctor, I've already Googled my symptoms. And I'm telling him what to prescribe me.
You know? I think that's worse, but...
And that's what's happening now. Yeah, that's what's happening now. People are going to...
So yes or no, doctor?
Yeah. But people are going to real estate agents or holiday homes operators and saying, I want this at this price, make it happen.
But that's my experience and what I've been going... the thought that I've been going through my mind lately is that real estate market, I probably is one of the most transparent ones. Because you have... I mean, even though I agree with you, there's lack of transparency in the quality of the listings. But you know prices quite well.
Yeah.
You know availability quite well. You physically can go there and touch what you want to buy. So on one hand, is the perfect market for competition. You know, when you list the characteristics of a perfect market, real estate is almost perfect market. But on the other hand, and we're opening maybe the Pandora box.
Oops.
The fees of the agents are huge. So what's your opinion about that?
Well, I mean, they're huge, or they can be huge, but they're different to how it works everywhere else. So in the US, you get, for sure, you get a commission from the buyer and the seller. In the UK...
But same percentage?
It should be the same percentage. In the UK, you only charge the seller or the landlord. You do not charge the buyer or the tenant. Here, the norm is charging the buyer or the tenant. The landlord rarely pays unless they're paying for property management, but they won't pay for tenant finding. And sellers rarely pay as well. So it's a slight conflict of interest. You're working for the seller trying to get the price they want, or you're working for the landlord trying to get them occupancy and full occupancy and the best rate, but actually you're getting paid by the consumer.
That's a good point. I think, I guess probably it's because there is this balance between supply and demand in Dubai.
Yeah, yeah.
And there is less supply and more demand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, more supply and less demand, no? So getting the landlord is the... Everyone can get the landlord, yeah. And then...
Let's take a moment to thank Mr. Alfred, our sponsor. They're not just a property management system. They're a comprehensive solution for vacation rentals, offering everything from dynamic pricing to efficient marketing. Their intuitive platform simplifies operations so you can focus on growth. Excitingly, Mr. Alfred now offers a free light version, including a channel manager with connections to over 60 OTAs, available for an unlimited number of units and users. To learn more and to start streamlining your rental business, visit MrAlfred.com today.
So there are some agents who will insist on both the seller and the buyer paying commission. And, you know, they're entitled to it because they're working for both. But there was a recent ruling in the US, or a case that is probably going to trickle down, where they said, but I can't remember the case details exactly, but it's a pretty big deal in the US, where they said it was unfair for someone to charge both, which is going to then give rise to buyer's agents and seller's agents. And that could come here potentially, where you've got someone representing the seller, you've got someone representing the buyer, they both get paid from their respective clients, and they're both working in the best interest for their client.
Actually, the other day I was watching a LinkedIn post about a personal shopper in property, where this person, well, this company was working for a buyer. And he was negotiating on their behalf. They were doing background checks. It was in Europe, so about the neighborhood, the neighbors, if they were noisy, not noisy. They were, I think, living there two nights to...
Brilliant.
Because
okay.
When you it's true. When you buy, you don't spend nights there. Yeah. Maybe the traffic at night is 10 times more than in the morning.
Absolutely.
And actually at home, you are more at night than during the day, probably. So
that's a fantastic idea.
I don't know if that exists in Dubai, but probably. No. But more a POA, more someone that handles a lot of properties.
Yeah. But that's why holiday homes make sense, because if you are an investor and you don't want to lock yourself into a long-term rental, put it on holiday homes. And let's say you have an interested buyer. It's easier to organize viewings,
absolutely.
And it's easier to evict the tenant or cancel the contract if... you have a buyer, but you could also offer your potential buyer, stay two nights in the property. If they're an end user, stay in the property.
That's a good
on
one.
Me.
Never thought about that.
You know, and spend 48 hours and then decide if you want to buy it.
The smell,
the sounds, well. The neighbors. There's
the
a lot
security
of...
security team. Yeah.
Where the parking space is, there's so much don't
the
realize.
Parking. Yeah, the ROM. But that you can find out.
Yeah,
you
could
find
out. Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so we have, maybe you can create another company after that.
I quite like this idea.
You
maybe.
Have so many. Yeah. So, very good. So, moving from Propology, I think everyone in Dubai is interested about the situation of the market.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is asking. But I don't think no one knows the answer.
Yeah.
So we can have a conversation here rather than asking you, because I don't know. How do you think is the market today in the UAE?
I mean, I think Dubai is its own little...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you cannot compare it to the rest of the world. It's doing its own thing. It's breaking its own records. It's carving its own little data sets and, you know, it's beating all odds. Where will it go? I don't know. I think I know that there's a lot of that, you know, there's an imbalance between cash purchases and mortgages. So typically it's mostly mortgage buyers on the market, mm-hmm. in general, markets. And then you only have a small portion of cash buyers. Mm-hmm. Here it's the reverse. You have a lot of cash buyers.
Now or always?
Now. Mm-hmm. So the mortgage buyers, that volume isn't going to increase until the interest rates start coming down. Hopefully next year they're going to start dropping. Will they ever go back as low as they were? Probably not, but this is the new normal. And but I do think that, you know, next generation, the idea of home ownership for the following generations, it's not that big a deal. You know, you and I were probably raised to believe that you've only made it when you've owned, when you own a property, and you have to have a good job, and you have to have a portfolio of properties, and this is success.
Yeah.
Next generation, they're not thinking that way. They want experience. They want to own businesses. They want crypto. They want stocks. They want to diversify their investments. And, you know, NFTs even, that was a phase. They're prepared to go through those risks and rewards rather than property. But of course, everybody needs to live somewhere. But I do think, you know, investors are still going to be there. Tenants will always be there. We're going to need somewhere to live. Mm. So I think it's...
I've seen recently a lot of reports. Well, recently a lot. Like the couple, last week I've seen two or three reports saying prices are stabilizing and everything.
Yeah.
So
well, that, even
that's
if
a
you
ripple
look
effect
at,
as well. Yeah. No? When people know... that you, prices might go down.
Yeah.
They start getting sellers, especially. I don't know. I have this opinion that if a seller has been always like all time high, the minute he thinks that the thing can go down, he will have urgency of selling, and therefore it will initiate already
the wheels to turn the
go down.
Yeah.
So.
I think. I mean, there's a lot of people that probably weren't thinking about selling now that attempted to sell because of the prices.
Yeah, exactly.
So perhaps the market is flooded with unsaleable properties because of expectations. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely one to watch, see how it unfolds. But
very good. So another important topic of our podcast is technology.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to focus on the technological aspect of our industry. We normally talk about the holiday homes. We can talk about holiday homes.
We can talk about holiday
but
homes.
But in terms of, I mean, you've were co-founder of a tech startup here in Dubai. Which is the technology that you think has changed a little bit the whole property? If it's long-term, if it's buying, selling, which technology would you say it's revolutionizing? And, sorry, maybe you cannot answer AI.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I was going to say, actually, AI is one of those avenues. And it's funny because I was listening to a podcast this morning about AI, and it was saying, just consider AI electricity. You know, what electricity looked
like.
Like
an enabler. Hmm?
Yeah, so what electricity looked like, I don't know when electricity was invented, actually, but let's say it was 1902. So how electricity looked like in 1905 is what AI is now. We know it's there. We know it exists. We know it does a lot of amazing things, but we're not using it every day.
No.
But it's happening around you, and it's powering a lot of things around you. Now, I do believe in kind of, you know, we're going to stop using our brain, and the word AI is in brain, B-R-A-I-N. So that's the most important AI, is our brain. People are getting lazier and reliant on AI. It's good in some ways, but we do still need that personal touch and creativity. I get a lot of emails and posts and comments on my Instagram and so on, and I can tell when it was written in ChatGPT. It's like, that's not how you, that's such a ChatGPT response. So there needs to be a bit of creativity around it. Do I think robots are going to take over? No, not yet. But yeah, AI is in everything. And as long as it's making journeys easier, productivity easier, then I'm all for it. And in terms of kind of what apart from AI, data and the information that data can provide or the stories that it can tell, this is something that's really important. And there's a lot of companies that are opening up data or facilitating AI and data to tell a story.
And a couple of years ago also, this 3D visualization of apartments or villas was quite growing, but I don't...
And then it dropped off.
Right?
Yeah. You've got the Matterport. The virtual tour.
Yeah, but Matterport is like, 5 years old?
Yeah, yeah.
There is no evolution of this technology.
Yeah, I think I think it's because... To some degree, we have to sell. And if you portray the property in its form so clearly, then you as an agent may not be given the opportunity to sell because someone decided, just from seeing the 3D model, actually, it's not for me. So I think maybe it could even be a case of the agencies. Also, it's very expensive. So because you're not getting paid... A guarantee. You're not getting paid in advance. Mm. There's no, some in the UK, sometimes they charge you for marketing just in case they don't sell it. But because there's no guarantee you're going to sell everything that you list, you're not going to invest so much money into every listing. Matterport takes time as well. It might take a couple of days to organize, shoot, and then create it. By which point, because the market's moving so quickly, it's already sold.
That's true. Okay, and when it comes to holiday homes, so we were discussing about holiday homes before the podcast. Mm. So how would you be about that? So do you think in Europe there is a lot of in the US there is a lot of debate that short-term rentals or holiday homes are impacting the market, which data shows the opposite, but it's very strong in PR this messaging. Yeah.
I mean, it's making it very difficult for long-term renters because, we are the long-term renters are the base of every economy. And if I'm now struggling to find a property to rent long-term, or if I'm being priced out because my landlord is able to get double the market rent on short-term... Mm. Then you're making my life very difficult. So in New York as well, they said it's a major problem because everybody's converting to holiday homes. Long-term renters can't find anywhere and the prices are going crazy. In the UK, they put a cap on it. Or in London, there's a 90-day limit, which I think it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I can see why they're doing it, but it's totally unfair for the landlord or the investor. Like, who are you to tell me what I can do with my property?
So my experience in I'm from Barcelona, and in Barcelona you have limited licenses. Mm. And what that has generated is that whoever has a license is making 3-4 times more money than long-term rentals.
Okay.
So PR said, PR, the story in the PR in the media is that short-term rentals are impacting long-term rentals, but in reality, whoever has a short-term rental license is making so much money that it's not fair, in my opinion, towards the society.
I like that idea, actually, that it's a limited number of licenses, which probably means you have to be a really good host to get a license, which then increases the standards, improves the standard of the hospitality, because it is part of the hospitality sector. But I think in the region, one thing that I've always been, dubious of, and the stats aren't there. We know the figures, we know the data for long-term rentals, but the data for short-term rentals is not publicly available.
Correct.
And I've always... of course, some of it has been evidence-based, but I've always been suspicious that actually net, at the end of the year, when we compare both, which one makes more sense? Mm. And I was convinced that it was long-term rental because, in short-term rental, you've got higher operating costs and well-deserved because you do a lot more than a property management company. You've got the furniture costs that you have to consider. You've got the utilities that you have to consider. You've got the occupancy rates. Nobody is ever operating at 100% occupancy for the whole year. So once you tally it up at the end of the year, it's depending on location and type. Mm.
Yeah, actually, it's same. Our data in Mr. Alfred shows that so it's very volatile. Dubai is volatile. The real estate market in Dubai is volatile by itself, but short-term rentals is even more. Our data suggests that over a period of 3 years, short-term rental is better than long-term rental. In which percentage? Impossible to say, because some areas can be 5%, 10%, 20%. Some areas can be the same. Some areas can be a bit less. But the important, our analysis and learning is that you need to do a 3 years period.
True.
For several reasons. First of all, for the furniture. In the end, if you invest furniture, at least consider a 3 years
amortization
period. Second, because it's true that Holiday Homes don't generate 100% of occupancy, but over a period of 3 years, long-term rental might not generate 100% of occupancy. No?
And
today, maybe you put a very good apartment in the market and you get it rented in 1 week. But 1 year ago, no, or 1 year and a half ago, it took 1.5 months.
No? True.
Also, the maintenance you need to do when you do long-term. So over a period of 3 years, we believe that the comparison is more fair. Also, when you buy an asset, you need to do a ROI analysis over a period of 5 to 10 years.
True.
So doing the 1 year and 1 year analysis
is not fair.
Is not fair to our short-term rentals. But whoever says 25-50% is not true either.
Yeah. No?
So I think we need to find a middle.
But also, as an investor, you kind of have to a lot of. And I don't know if you experience this, but some people think about doing short-term rental for a short term. And that's a big mistake
because
actually, as you mentioned, 3 years, the furniture expense needs to make sense, financial sense. But secondly, I know how important the power of those Airbnb or Booking.com reviews are.
Correct.
Because at the beginning, it's going to be terrible. As you get...
Oh, terrible, terrible.
Okay, not terrible. Okay, as in...
No, you just don't have visibility in the OTAs.
It's true. When I book an Airbnb,
absolutely.
The first place I'm looking at, well, before I click checkout, I'm looking at the reviews.
Absolutely.
And I'm making my decision on that.
And the number of
reviews. And if it's only like 1, 2, I might not. But if it's 20 reviews, and to get 20 reviews might take 6 months' time.
Absolutely.
And if that client, especially in the region, is assigning you over the summer period, let's be honest, they're going to hate you over summer. They're going to love you in the high season in the winter, but they hate your guts in the summer.
no, we know. I mean, we are now in November and now we are in the good season.
The Valentine's season.
Yeah, I like that. Valentine's season. But we're in hell's season a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
So
you've got to give it 3 years or you've got to plan to do it long term and not just pull out because you didn't like 3 months worth of numbers or the bookings aren't so
absolutely. And and also what I recommend investors is that also as a diversification of the portfolio. I mean, if you have one apartment, ROI of that apartment is key. But if you have 10, 20, 30 apartments, it's good to diversify.
Yeah.
Maybe in one you earn 5%, you lose 5%, but you are exposed to different asset class.
True.
And why? Because we're hospitality. And hospitality is about the global economy. Real estate is more local, no? In the end. Of course, we're impacted by global events in terms of capital influx and all this. But when it comes to demand and pricing, tourism is more global.
Yeah.
Diversification, global macroeconomics rather than microeconomics. And third, it's because it's aligned with the strategy of this country.
Yeah.
In the end, this country, it's all about tourism
and hospitality
and all this. So, well, you are betting on the same industry that the government is betting. So eventually, maybe 1 year you don't make it, but a lot of people canceled contracts after COVID and they missed the best 12 months of history of Holiday Homes, which we had here during the expo. So you never know.
Yeah.
So and it's not all about the ROI when you have a portfolio of assets. You also want diversification and different and balancing the risks. No? Very good. So so now to go to the next topic. Our audience are small operators, or target clients in Mr. Alfred are small operators. So I have for them, like, first of all, would you recommend Holly Home operators, small operators and start to launch a real estate arm? Or because some of our clients come to us and say, hey, when they want to sell, when they want to rent long term, we lose them, yeah. We lose the client, we lose the commission. What do we do? We partner, we do create. Mm-hmm. So based on your experience, how easy is to create a real estate arm, or would you partner?
I personally would highly promote partnerships, because you got into holiday homes for a reason. That's what you're good at. That's what you want to double down on. That's what you want to excel at. When you start branching off into different avenues, you lose focus on the core baby. And there is one thing that Dubai has enough of, and that's real estate companies.
Yeah, that's
right. And it's speaking from my own experience, it is extremely expensive to run a real estate company. From the portal cost to the office, every cost involved. And you've got agents that are not producing sales. So if you have one or two missed sales or rental opportunities because you don't have a real estate arm, it's not enough of a reason to open up a real estate company. What I do believe in is property management companies going into, you know, brokering deals, because they have the long-term relationship with the client. But focus on your core, which is holiday homes, for a reason, and have partnerships with the real estate companies that are ready to spend the money to close the deal that you need to, and they're ready to reward you.
Yeah, revenue share. But what about the risk of losing the client?
As long as you are offering value to the client and let them know that we are here to service all of your property needs, we have partners in every aspect, whether it's interior design, whether it's maintenance companies, and as a real estate provider or industry provider, you should have all these connections anyway. So I believe the partnerships is the way forward until you get to the stage where you could be closing. You know, unless you're in a position to be closing 10 to 20 sales a month, there's no point in even considering it.
Interesting. And what do we tell our clients about the real estate agencies that create a holiday homes company?
So, they're doing exactly that. They saw that they were losing their clients to other real estate companies. So, better we create our own in-house real estate holiday homes company. Yeah. But remember, then, you know, that's competition is good, but when you are just holiday homes, you have something to your advantage. That's what you specialize in. That's what you're amazing at. Mm. That's what your focus is. So you do have a unique selling point in that sense, that this is what you're dedicated to.
Very good. So we're reaching to an end. We always end up with a question that is, how do you get inspired? Do you read, listen podcasts, and to what can you recommend?
I'm a YouTube person.
Okay.
Even podcasts, I watch on YouTube. Uh-huh. So I like to just play it in the background, you know, let it run. And I like the suggestions that it gives me afterwards. So, yeah, I'm a YouTube person.
Any specific episode or channel that you follow for real estate?
Not for real estate, but Diary of a CEO. I really like his... Stephen Bartlett, he's got some amazing guests, very long podcasts, like they're like 1 hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, but they're super, super full of takeaways.
Okay, so thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
We're going to follow Propology.
Please do.
And
we'll work together too, I'm sure, in some capacity.
Inshallah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next Gen Rentals is brought to you by our main sponsor, Mr. Alfred. Mr. Alfred specializes in making vacation rental management effortless.